Welcome to The Human Beat. I'm Roger Rocca. Nearly every present and former homeless person in Clatsop County knows and respects Kenny Hansen. Over his long career as a police officer with the Astoria Police Department, Kenny has enforced the law when enforcement was necessary. But he's always made it his mission to get to know the people who are houseless in the city and to learn their stories. Hansen offers them some respect, and they have responded in kind. It made him a very effective officer. Now retired from Astoria PD, Kenny Hansen has gone to work for Clatsop Community Action. He is still working to help people who are houseless, and he's managing the Stepping Stones encampment in Seaside. I talked with Kenny about his career and his thoughts about the unsheltered.
I spent 36 years with the Astoria Police Department. Ever since I'd been a little kid, I'd wanted to be an Astoria police officer. And when I was old enough, I became a reserve and then was hired full-time. I was brought up with a real strong belief in community policing at the police department. And had some great mentors, Rob Dupree and Jeff Spalding. The last 8 years of my career, approximately, I was the homeless liaison. For a short time, I did that exclusively. And then that position ended and went back to regular patrol, but kept the homeless liaison part of it along with my regular patrol duties. Mm-hmm. Most of my career, I had interaction with the homeless community, unsheltered community. We have a significant increase right now than what we used to have. And early on, it was mostly locals that were the unsheltered. They were from here. As time went on, we began to have more. Homelessness across the country has totally increased in the last, say, 35 years even. So that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing what's being seen nationally. We had a significant amount of people up in the wooded areas as well. What happened up in the wooded area, and this was mostly up in the east end of Astoria, there was large amounts of garbage mm-hmm. that were accumulating because they didn't haul things out. It was difficult for law enforcement to reach those areas when something did happen. There's things that happened that didn't get reported because they were out in the woods as well. You know, with those problems, what ended up happening back in 2018, the city went up to the wooded areas and asked everybody to move out of there. Mm-hmm. The only place for them to go was to the downtown area. You know, and prior to them going up in the woods even, you know, that they were somewhat in the downtown area and on the waterfront. Mm-hmm. But they went up to the woods, and then that didn't work out, so they went back downtown.
I should interject here, too, mm-hmm. that the courts have been involved in this.
Yes.
There have been court rulings about what a city can and can't do, and the courts have held that unless the city has shelter,
correct,
it can't really say, well, you can't camp here.
Right.
That in public spaces, that there's a certain humanity involved here that you can't tell people they can't exist.
Right.
So part of what the city does, what the police department does, is mm-hmm. governed by those court rulings.
Yes. Yes. And Oregon also created a statute that went along with those court rulings at the time as well. There's actually a state law that coincides with what those court rulings originally were.
So I know even then you were establishing relationships with the people who were unhoused.
Yes, and I think that's the most important thing. Back when I was a police officer working with the homeless unsheltered community, it was important to establish those relationships. Relationships are probably one of the most important thing a police officer can do, because if you can establish a relationship with people, you are able to have their trust. They're able to share more with you. You're able to help them more knowing the full story. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a story. Some stories are very different than others. Some stories are very similar to other stories. A lot of the people that are out there, they have had some very bad experiences in their lives. A lot of these revert back to even adverse childhood experiences. There's a segment that chooses to not live by society's rules. But the majority of them are in the position they're in, not necessarily by choice, by circumstance. Trauma in their lives, loss of housing, having an addiction, mental health issues, all those things. Most of the people didn't wake up one morning and decide they wanted to be where they're at today, mm-hmm. out there on the streets. I think it's important for the community to know that. It's real important because a lot of our homeless unsheltered community, I guess no better term, they're stigmatized. There's a thought that people have about them, and it's not necessarily correct. There's a lot of good people out there. I think if people got to know them, things would be different. They're constantly being belittled or talked negatively about. You know, we experienced a guy yesterday walking on the Riverwalk with his dog, and he started yelling and screaming about, you know, the attics and how this all needs to get cleaned up. He was yelling at us, the mm-hmm. outreach team. It's mm-hmm. I'm from CCA. Thinking that we were responsible for that part, and tried to explain to him that we're social services and right. we're not the enforcement arm of this at all. And he didn't want to hear any of that. And he walked on. But if all the people hear is negative things, they're going to start believing those things. They're going to give up. They're not going to want to try and be better. They're going to just maintain their status quo because they feel that society's thrown them away.
Well, there are some real world issues here, one of them being the cost of housing.
Yes, yes.
It's hard to get from that step where you are unhoused to be able to somehow afford to be housed.
It is. It's very difficult. The numbers just don't add up for what it costs to live, you know, and what you bring in from a paycheck. There's a big gap there. At CCA, we do have some rental assistance programs that we can help some of the people with. There are certain qualifications that people have to have to get into those programs, but we do try and help them. 75% of what CCA does really is prevent homelessness. The other 25% is working with those that are homeless mm-hmm. to get them some sort of shelter. We do have the Baker Building now here in Astoria. It's ran by Clatsop Behavioral Health. There's been some unsheltered homeless people staying there now. And also we've gotten some into the Owens Adair 2 building. There is criteria to get into those apartments as well. And there's been a couple people here and there who've been exited from those programs even. Not everybody's ready for shelter at the same time. Mm-hmm. With Stepping Stones and Seaside, people transition from there into one of the shelters. And from there, there's issues and they get exited.
So let's explore Stepping Stones a little bit and Seaside's solution and see how that's working so far.
Stepping Stones was created by the city of Seaside. It was created after they had challenges with two other camps that they'd created, and that Stepping Stones is owned by the City of Seaside, and Clatsop Community Action is a contractor for that. I manage that down there, and I have a staff member that works down there. Stepping Stones has been very successful.
So Stepping Stones is a place where people who are houseless can be.
Yes.
It's a place they can be without being
yes.
hassled. And Seaside tried that in a couple of locations before that didn't work out for one reason or another. There was
right.
pushback. But now they found a location that seems to be working okay.
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely wonderful the way it's working. In the beginning, it's been open since August of 2025. And we're coming up on the 1 year mark. Initially, it started out kind of rough. However, now it's running very smooth. And basically, why it started out rough was because a lot of the community members at Stepping Stones lacked structure. Like a lot of our unsheltered community, they lack structure. What we have done at Stepping Stones is created some structure for them. That being with rules and things like that, some accountability. Most everybody's come around now, and we have very, very few problems down there. That's what a lot of our unsheltered community, I think, needs is structure. Mm-hmm. And with that structure, I hear a lot out on the streets is, we need a place to be. We're always being told where we can't be. And if we had a place we could be better. And with Stepping Stones, that's proven to be true. Seaside has a place for people to be. In Seaside, Stepping Stones is the only place you can legally camp. It's been very successful. You don't see the people on the streets like they used to be.
Or like in Astoria.
Or like, yeah, correct. Yes. Night and day, really, in comparison. With Stepping Stones, it makes it easy for resources to connect with them. Because mm-hmm. everybody's in one spot for the most part. We have a case manager that comes down on Fridays and meets with the clients there, the community members. COTS of Behavioral Health is a regular presence there. We don't have to go looking for people very much. Mm-hmm. We even have a doctor, Dr. Slott. He comes down. He's a emergency room doctor at Providence, and he also has a company on his time off where he does street medicine, and he meets with the clients right there at Stepping Stones. He does also come up to the Columbia Inn. He goes to Esperanza and Seaside. We help him with interacting with the unsheltered community up here in Astoria as well. Seaside has found the best current solution to working with being homeless and being unsheltered. It basically comes down to everybody wants a place to be, everybody needs a place to be.
What does Stepping Stones look like? Is it unsightly? Is it when you see it, is it obvious that this is a homeless encampment? Is there a way to make a homeless encampment attractive?
Yes. I think we've done that. It's definitely not like a KOA campground or anything like that. But when you come to Stepping Stones, you can tell their structure. You can tell there's rules that people need to follow. There's not large accumulations of things laying around. It looks a lot different than, say, it does at the foot of Second Street here. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the unsheltered community likes structure once they're introduced to it.
What about people who say that if we make things too nice for the people who are houseless, well, just more of them will come here then?
Based on my experience, we haven't had that happen in Seaside. Seaside is pretty nice. What it has there, though, is the basics. There's no internet. There's very limited electricity. We allow them to charge their phones and things like that in their battery packs.
I've heard from some of the people on the street here in Astoria mm-hmm. that it's hard, for example, to go and apply for a job. For one, because it's hard to clean up and make mm-hmm. yourself presentable, but also because you're afraid to leave your stuff.
Right. That is a big problem here. That is something we constantly hear And probably the most recent time was when we had the we opened a warming center. The city asked us to open a warming center. We had it open for a few nights, and we didn't have many people. Mm-hmm. There wasn't many people at all. And the reason being, we were told by the people were that they're afraid to leave their things, mm-hmm. and that if they left their stuff, they'd come back and it would be gone. Other people will have gone through it. And so they didn't come to the warming center. That creates a barrier. To where in Seaside at Stepping Stones, you can leave your stuff. No one's going to bother your stuff generally. Also down there at Stepping Stones, when staff's not there, there's a camera system that monitors all the activity. And staff reviews the video footage on a regular basis. And we have people that actually go to work that live at Stepping Stones. There are some people that actually have jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the warming center, and yes. I did volunteer. My wife and I both volunteered at the warming center here. And I remember asking, it was basically run by women. The staff members at the warming center at the Methodist Church were basically women.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I asked them at one point if they ever were nervous or scared about being there, and they just said, they kind of laughed and they said, no, they said, if anything ever happens, the entire room rises up to defend us. It's, mm-hmm. You know, the people who are using that facility were very protective of the people who were trying to help them.
They are. That's very true. I think if people took the opportunity to get to know our unsheltered community, I think they would have a different perception. Most of the people out there on the streets are actually very nice people if you get to know them. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for our unsheltered community. They're living life every day like a lot of people couldn't even imagine. They're going through things that most of us will never see, would never want to, you know, experience. I just think they need a lot more understanding. There needs to be a lot more empathy. Include them as being members of the community, not as outcasts. Because it's in the end, we're all human beings. We're all people.
A lot of veterans and a lot of women out there too.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier having some electricity available at Stepping Stones, and mm-hmm. that seems like a small thing, but if that phone is your lifeline, mm-hmm. like if you're in line for housing and you can't answer the phone, you get bumped to the bottom of the list
right.
again.
That does happen, yes.
So
yes.
Something seemingly simple can be pretty critical.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And also down in Seaside there, we have a shower trailer that's able to be utilized every Monday. That's open for the entire unsheltered community of Seaside and whoever else wants to come use it too. The things that we take for granted, I mean, a lot of those things the unsheltered community doesn't have. Even washing clothes, that's a big thing. If you don't have clean clothes, it makes it difficult to go look for a job. Is a prospective employer going to hire you if you come in with dirty clothes on and things like that? As far as laundry services here in Astoria now, you know, we offer a shower trailer down at Columbia Inn on Tuesdays, and that'll start back up again once the remodeling's done there. Lifeboat has a drop-in center now. It's open every day, all day. They offer a laundry service there. And Oz also offers showers at night at their shelter. So that helps a lot with Astoria people.
Well, any final advice that you have for Astoria in terms of finding that place where the homeless can be?
I think the city, the community needs to really look for a place where they can be, where they can be on a regular basis. If there's a place where they can be on a regular basis, it makes it much, much easier for services to connect with them. And the more services we can connect people with, the less people there are going to be going through crisis and being unsheltered. We're going to be able to move them into shelter and get them the help they need more quickly, rather than having to go out and look here, look there, and everything. And if there's a place they can be, it also gives them structure. A place where there's rules and, in a way, somewhat of a place where they have a community that they can call their own, where they can feel happy, feel proud of something, and become better citizens.
And probably also feel safe.
And feel safe, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
Well, Kenny, thank you so much for this. And I appreciate not just what you're doing now, but all you've done over the years to really make a difference for people.
Well, thank you, Roger. Yeah. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking with Kenny Hansen, longtime Astoria police officer, friend to the unsheltered, and now working for Clatsop Community Action and managing the Stepping Stones encampment for homeless residents of Seaside. We have a few minutes left in the hour, so I thought we might revisit a few excerpts from past interviews that reflect some of the things that Kenny Hansen talked about. First, from a homeless woman at Lifeboat Services. Then, a couple years later, with a mother and daughter living in tents on Duane Street.
How long have you been homeless?
Over the course of my life, multiple times. Actually, when I first moved into town, I was 6 years old, and it was my mom, my sisters, and I, and we were first homeless. Right when we moved in, she was staying, she met a friend, and she had family members out here. Well, something happened, and my mom was the first to have to leave with us, so we were living in a car. I can't honestly tell you how long, I mean, because there's a difference between living in your car homeless to flat out being out on the streets or just couch surfing. There's so many things that you kind of take for granted that you don't even realize it. Like the simple matter of being able to charge your phone. Having your own personal bathroom. Just having a place to be. I suffered abuse when I was really little. And it really changed my mindset. So it's kind of backwards. Sometimes when I go in there, it's like, I understand that this is your job. But when you treat me like I'm not a person, it's really hard. At night, sleeping is hard because it depends on if you can find a good enough spot to safely sleep by yourself. Female, like me, I don't ever sleep by myself. If I am by myself, the only thing that I know is to constantly keep moving. Not to stay in one space at one time. And the reason why that is because you're vulnerable. I mean, most of the time when I was abused, it was inside, behind closed doors. Out here, you want to make sure you always have two exits. It takes time to build up what you have but only a few moments to have it all gone. Your income, coronavirus hit, something that is out of your control, but you lost that steady paycheck. Some people can't bounce back from that right away.
What about if there was a place where, even if you had to be in a tent, what if there was a place where people just didn't hassle you?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. And but, you know, it's got to be close to where, you know, we can, even us older people, because there are older people, I'm not saying quite senior age yet, but there are some of us, you know, that have the health issues, can't walk very far.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to get, you know, to the store. We don't have a porta potty out here.
Yeah.
You know?
So just having a designated place.
A designated place would be wonderful. Where
would be a help?
Yes, absolutely. Where, you know, the officers aren't going to come bother us. We could leave our tents up if we have a place to leave our things. You can't carry all your stuff to a job. A lot of people don't want to, won't go to a job because you have to worry about the few belongings that you have, you know?
Have permission to use someone's water spigot close by on the streets that we do stay at, like in power wash our own streets that we're on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm 33, almost 34 years old, and I mean, I'm young enough I could be a benefit to the downtown area. And whatever that would help us make us look better. Or seem like we're not as bad as people want to portray us to be.
Well, some people. Yeah. How does that make you feel? How do you think people perceive you? How do you think they see you? What do you think they think of you?
I think that it's almost like they think we have a disease or something.
Yeah.
We're looked at as we're too like far gone. What I call us is gray lives, because we're the ones that fall through the cracks, or that because of the choices we made in our lives,
it's really led
people to not have faith or believe that we can be better than.
And it's not always even choices we've made. It's sometimes it's always the other things that other people have caused for us, too.
I'm Roger Rocca, and this is The Human Beat. Thanks for listening.